WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Fun Friday, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. And we are asking our Fun Friday question today. If you could visit a place from a TV show or a movie, where would it be? And by the way, I've been watching this thing on Netflix, which I guess it came out on a different streaming service, the Curiosity service. It came out a couple of years ago. And it's called Titans, and it's about the guys who founded the Hollywood studios. So MGM, Paramount, Universal, Warner Brothers, United Artists. It's about how all of those studios came to be in the early part of the 20th century. And it's a little cheesy. It's kind of annoying. I don't know if I want to mention the things that are annoying, because then if you watch it, those things will annoy you too. But it was pretty informative. And it was very interesting to see how all of that came together. And I guess there's a new one that premieres on Tuesday. I mean, if you watch the Curiosity service, you've probably seen it already, but I don't know how many people even know that exists. But this one is Titans, and it's about the people who founded Wall Street. But the one about the folks who founded Hollywood, I found to be very interesting because, first of all, I just love American history like that, especially when it comes to the pop culture stuff. But how they basically took an industry that didn't exist and actually when it was tightly controlled, and they found a way to get out of that control. There used to be an organization that basically ran and controlled everything that was made for movies, and they had to move from New York to Hollywood just to get out from under them. And I mean, at one point they were making movies in Cuba to avoid having to be under the control of this one body of, Thomas Edison leading the pack of the people who controlled the movie making industry. But then seeing just the way that movies became what they are today, how people went from, you know, paying 5 cents in Nickelodeons to go see whatever they were showing on a bedsheet to these elaborate movie palaces. And it kind of ends with the advent of the talking picture of sound. And then I started watching, because I was inspired, I started watching the Jazz Singer, the original 1927 Al Jolson film. But then I had to go to bed, so didn't get too far into that. But fascinating stuff, and I recommend it if you are a movie nut. But so the question is, if you could visit any place from a TV or a movie, where would it be? That's our Fun Friday question, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs. And we got some other things we're going to discuss as well. But right now, let's take a phone call, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning.
Morning.
Oh, my God. What a great question, Tim. Oh, man. This is like a loaded question because I swear I will have the best answer for you by Monday because that's how good of a question this is. It's going to make... I'm thinking of really old movies that I discovered later in my life. And I'm also thinking about really good movies, you know, from like the 90s and whatnot. So it's a really good question, Tim. Really good. So first, I'm going to say, for me, an older-ish type of movie that I discovered later on, Poseidon Adventures. That was really good. And
Wait. Well, you don't want to be in the upside-down boat? The upside-down ship?
No. Wait, no. Well, No, I don't think it ever went upside down.
Yeah, the Poseidon Adventure. The whole movie is about the ship flips upside down, and they're trying to get to the bottom of the ship to be able to get out.
Oh, so it's a different Poseidon Adventure. Wow, I never saw that one. How old is that one?
It's from the 1970s.
Oh my God.
Well, I know they made a sequel called Beyond the Poseidon Adventure. Maybe you're thinking of that. I don't think I've ever seen that one. But the Poseidon Adventure is the ship, the Poseidon, flips upside down, and they're trying to get from the top of the ship to the bottom of the ship so they can escape.
Oh my gosh. That's not, maybe I have the wrong name of the thing. I don't know. And really, you just blew my mind. And second, I would say Jurassic Park. Any of them. If I could, because I would love to really see that, right? Wow.
I mean, as long as they're all kept safe away from you, right?
Yeah. But I have to tell you, I think Laura had the best answer of the day. Alice in Wonderland, that was like the first thing that came to my mind. And then also David Bowie's Labyrinth. I loved that movie. That was such a weird, it was kind of like an Alice in Wonderland movie. But I think hers was like the best because I wouldn't want to be in that crazy world for a minute. Just for a minute, though.
Yeah, as long as you can get back out again.
Yeah, I don't want to be stuck in that rabbit hole forever. But nope, what a great question, Tim. Great question. And I just want to let everybody know, I didn't get my driver's license renewed yesterday because you have to have an appointment. I didn't know that because I went in the end of July. Renewed my registration, mm-hmm. and I was handed, I said, oh, you know, I need to, you know, do my license, blah, blah, blah. And they gave me the paperwork. She said, just fill it out and bring it back. So here I am thinking, oh, I made it. You know, the earth angels were with me, got me well enough to go take a pick and everything. But no, when I got there, they were like, no, you have to have an appointment. I said, but COVID's been over. Nope. Have to have an appointment. So you get a 60-day extension. So I get to go back today. I'm like, are you kidding me? You're doing all this paperwork. I got like temporary license, 60-day extension license, blah, blah, blah. And now I go back today and I will get it renewed. And I don't know when I'm going to be charged for that from yesterday, let alone the fee for the license.
No, I don't think there's no fee for the appointment. It's just the actual license renewal itself. So once you renew the license, you'll just pay whatever it is. I don't know, $65. I don't know what it is now.
Who knew, though, you could get an extension? Who knew? Because I was wondering, what if I was in the hospital? So that's kind of cool. So it was good, though, because my AC didn't work. I was a sweating mess. So really, it was a blessing in disguise, the whole thing. So I have a better chance today.
I mean, okay. I love how you're stressing about the license photo when nobody's ever going to see that picture. Nobody asks to look at your license anymore.
You know what? I don't know, but we all do, don't we?
I know. But, unless you get pulled over, nobody's looking at your license, so.
I know, but it's just something about it. Well, you know, it's funny because the photo I have now is 15 years old, maybe even 20. My stepbrother always renewed it for me. And I'm like thinking, well, maybe it's good to finally have an updated version because if somebody steals my identity again and they try, you know, to be me, at least I'll say, well, what did they look like? Because I'm not that person anymore.
Well, I can tell you. So when you have an Uber account, they require you to have a photo of you so that when the driver picks you up, you know, they know what you look like. And then you have a picture of the driver, so you know what they look like. And I got a note from Uber telling me I had to change my photo. And I was like, that's odd. Why? I have a photo in there. Like, why would I have to change it? I guess because I was taking Uber to go get my car from Mac Auto Sales. One of the Uber drivers happened to put in a comment that I didn't look like my photo because my photo was taken like 5 or 6 years ago. So I looked different because of the weight loss. So they said I didn't look like my photo. So Uber said I have to take a new photo because of the weight loss. So I was like, well, I guess that's nice.
No, that's kind of like, no, that scares me. When did they require this? Because the last time I took an Uber was out of Boston, right? When he was in the hospital. And I took it to Plymouth. And no photos were required then. And that was like, what, 3 years ago when he was in the hospital?
I mean, they've always had a photo requirement as long as I've had the app. And I've had it for quite a while.
Wow, you know what? That's weird. They've never asked me for a photo. Never.
Yeah,
wow.
Maybe they just trust you. I got to hold you there because we got another caller. Yeah. But you.
Yes, and I just want to say one thing about the elections. I don't think my ward counselor, Leo Chiquette, will need a lot of money at all because I just think he's, you know, going to be an easy win.
All right. Well, let's hope that's the case because he doesn't have a lot of money.
No, and I think it's great.
Got $200 in his account.
No, he'll be fine. He's got more than that.
Well, that's what's in his account. He's raised $646. So, but still.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Does he have a competitor? I heard he did, but.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was that was running in that one, but he'll be in with Chris at 11 o'clock.
Oh, really? Great.
All right.
All right, Tim. Thank you.
You want to say it?
Everybody have a wrestling rule of a weekend. That's for you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Tomorrow, we will have Cage by the Bay, the House of Bricks wrestling event. Come on by. Come support young Michael in his quest to get a kidney and see whether or not I get beat up by the thunder from down under Michael Foster. Let's go to another call here, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Listen, I was trying to actually have this call with you yesterday when you were speaking about Ryan's Pub.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to thank you. What a great place that is.
It really is. Like one of those hidden gem places, you know?
Tim, it's so true. The food was excellent. It really was. My new favorite place that I had to call and thank you for the ad, number one, because I did listen to the ad. But you kept talking about it so much. I said, I got to give that place a try. And I was not disappointed at all.
What did you have?
I actually had I had the fish and chips with the dry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dry rub that they put on it. And it was so good. And my wife got the steak tips equally as good. So, yeah, it's our new favorite place.
Excellent.
And
well,
the prices were absolutely reasonable. So. And shot a game of pool, a few games of pool. That was a lot of fun. So yeah, it was a great early dinner that we had over at the pub. And it was, yeah, we'll be going back. That's all I can say.
Well,
absolutely going back.
Maybe I'll see you over there sometime.
Okay, take care.
Thank you. Have a good day. And we will take some more calls coming up, 508-996-0500. Let me mention a couple of app chat messages that we got here. We were talking about, for our Fun Friday question, what location from a TV show or movie would you most like to visit? DSY says, how about the Munsters house? That might be kind of fun to visit, but I don't know. I might rather go to the Addams Family house because they had a lot of cool stuff in the house. The Munster house was kind of run down a little bit. 1313 Mockingbird Lane was just a little bit kind of in rough shape. But I think the Addams Family house had a lot of cool, like, antiques and things that came alive and all that. That might be a little bit more interesting. Another place I'd like to go to from a movie perspective is I would love to go to Hill Valley in 1955 and in 1885. I'd like to go to either one of those places from the Back to the Future movies. Not so much the Hill Valley of 2015. I think that would be a bad one. Based on how that worked out for Marty. But that would be a place that I would definitely want to check out and visit. Hill Valley 1955 and 1885. Also, got an app chat message from John Dartmouth who says, Tim, does the last caller referring to Sketty and everybody else know that you can renew your license anytime during the course of the year before it expires? In other words, if your license expires in November of this year, you could have renewed it now or even back in January. So, yes, you can renew it anytime. You don't have to wait for it to expire. But I think a lot of us, because so many people have it expire like on their birthday, that it makes it an easy remembrance for them. At one point, I had my registration and my license in the same year. And I don't know why that is. I guess because one's 2 years and one's 5 years, I think. So they're off now. So now it's like, I don't even know. The last time I had to renew my license registration, the only reason I knew I had to, because I don't know. I just didn't pay attention to the mail, maybe. But I only knew because my dad was like, hey, that sticker on your plate is bad. And I was like, oh, that's because my registration is bad. I just went right to the registry the next day. So, yeah, as somebody who doesn't really remember things. I appreciate that heads up, John. Also, we got another question that came from Polly in New Bedford, who said, say a city councilor has $5,000 in campaign funds and decides not to run again. What happens to those funds? And the New Bedford Light addressed that in the article, because that is the case with Councilor Morad. Councilor Morad has about $46,000 cash on hand in her campaign account, and she has said she is not running. So she said in an email to them that she has no specific plans for her campaign account funds at this time. And they report that, according to OCPF, a candidate can keep their account open for future campaigns, but Morad says she's retiring. So Jason A. Tate, the education director at OCPF, told the New Bedford Light that if a candidate decides to close the account, they can continue to spend funds as dictated by state regulations. He said many candidates donate remaining funds to charity or to scholarship funds, and that state law allows spending on, quote, things of value for the enhancement of the political future of the candidate. For example, postage, newspaper and radio ads, campaign staff, travel expenses, charitable donations, and scholarship funds. But spending for personal use is generally prohibited. So, you know, she can't take that money and utilize it for personal gain, but like she could take some of that money and buy a radio commercial campaign thanking the citizens of New Bedford for electing her all these years. She could take out a campaign ad promoting whatever candidate, you know, she wants to see step in the future. She could utilize that to throw a banquet for the people who have worked on her campaign over the years. Like, these are all things that could be a good use of those funds. What she can't do is use them for personal means, which is something that, if you remember a couple of years ago, there was the woman who kept running. She was a Republican. I'm blanking on her name. We had stories about her. She got into a physical fight in Dartmouth with somebody that was on video, Rayla Campbell. And when she got into some hot water because she was using campaign funds to take people out to dinner and to buy clothes and all that. And this was after her campaign had not been successful. Like, so she lost the November election and then used campaign funds for a New Year's Eve dinner that she claimed was for her staff. But people were like, yeah, well, you went out with your staff on New Year's Eve and not your family. Like, so there was some questions about that. I remember that being a thing. But just because of the restrictions of what those funds can be used for, you know, people want a good accounting of that. All right, I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments, and we'll have the news in just a few moments. Well, Mick Jagger said he was a butcher cutting up meat, and so are the members of the Panaretta family, but not today because they are on vacation. The butcher shop in New Bedford is closed, and they will reopen on Tuesday with all new stuff in there for you to come and check out. So if you are thinking about visiting the butcher shop today, don't go down to 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford because they're not going to be there. They'll return on Tuesday, back and rested from their vacation with all kinds of great food for you, whether it be picking up some delicious meat, some of their great seafood, their beer and wine, or some of their great pre-made food. They're going to be cooking up a storm when they come back on Tuesday. So all kinds of great stuff at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Make sure you head on by there on Tuesday and welcome them back from a well-deserved time off. Eric was telling us it's probably going to be a staycation for him. So I hope that he is nice and rested and ready to go because, you know, your Labor Day cookouts are just around the corner. All right. You know what else is just around the corner? Today's news with Mike Roberts. We're going to play that for you. And Mike's got a story for you that is going to lead to me playing a song after that. So you listen to what he's talking about, and then you'll hear that song on the other side of the news and you'll say, oh, okay, I get it. It's been in my head all morning since I heard him talking about this story. But let's turn things over to Mike Roberts in the WBSM newsroom.
A bus trip with Pope Leo, a record for corn in Iowa, and a box office preview.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A Pope Leo XIV themed bus tour has launched in the Chicago area.
Stops on the tour include his childhood home in Dalton, the former Mercy Hospital on Chicago's south side where he was born, and Holy Name Cathedral on the near north side where his parents were married in 1949. The 2.5-hour tour costs $65. I'm Monica Nelson.
The FDA is considering a move to revoke the authorization of Pfizer's COVID vaccine for children under the age of 5.
Pfizer confirmed Wednesday and noted in a statement that the deliberations are not related to the safety and efficacy of the vaccine. It follows a Health and Human Services announcement saying the CDC would no longer recommend the vaccines for healthy children or pregnant women, since Moderna and Novavax shots are now approved for more limited populations. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Air Canada grounding flights ahead of a potential flight attendant strike this weekend. The airline will scale up the cancellations each day, which will result in a total shutdown by Saturday. The airline's 10,000 flight attendants are pushing for higher wages and better compensation and have announced their intention to strike. New research showing certain weight loss drugs could be linked to eye-related issues. A couple of studies published in JAMA looks into Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, and Zepbound, and the impact that they have been having on eye health in Americans with type 2 diabetes. One study shows the modest risk in developing an eye condition that could result in vision loss. Another study showed an increased risk of other eye issues. Governor Ron DeSantis opening a new immigration detainment center in North Florida to house an additional 1,300 people.
We are calling this the Deportation Depot. It is going to be located here at Baker Correctional Institute. And again, the reason of this is not to just house people indefinitely. We want to process, stage, and then return illegal aliens to their home country.
DeSantis says there is demand for the deportation depot with up to 100,000 illegal immigrants in Florida on final removal orders. This comes about a month after Southern Florida's so-called Alligator Alcatraz. Pointing to the success of Alligator Alcatraz, he says more migrants are opting for voluntary departure, which means a free plane ticket home. He added that the Baker County facility is 15 minutes from the Lake City Airport. 4 people dead after massive flooding in Chattanooga, Tennessee. 6 inches of rain fell in the area overnight Tuesday into Wednesday. 2 adults and a child killed when a tree was uprooted and fell on their SUV. President Trump announced on Wednesday that KISS will be among the recipients of this year's Kennedy Center Honors.
This is the first group of honorees to be named since Trump took over the Kennedy Center as chairman. Trump, who announced he will host this year's ceremony, says KISS is going to do something very special at the ceremony. Other honorees include Sylvester Stallone, country artist George Strait, and R&B artist Gloria Gaynor, famous for the disco anthem, I Will Survive. I'm Mark Mayfield.
It's looking like this will be a boom year for corn. Economist Chad Hart with the Iowa State University.
We're looking at not only a record corn yield, but corn production. It's nationwide, and it's not just a record by a little. It's a record by a lot.
The USDA forecasting 16.7 billion bushels of corn this year, up 13% over last year. Hart says the large supply of corn will likely lower prices, and that makes it harder for farmers to profit. Weapons expected to take first place among the weekend box office. The Zach Cregger directed thriller looking to make between $20 to $22 million in its second outing. The action film, Nobody 2, will battle it out with Freakier Friday for second place, both expected to net around $10 to $12 million. Also new this week, the crime thriller Americana, starring Sydney Sweeney, Paul Walter Hauser, and Halsey.
WBSM Sports.
The Marlins come to Boston tonight. Red Sox hosting Miami. First pitch, 7:10 tonight. Tomorrow, 4:10. And Sunday afternoon at 1:35.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by Seastream.
Good morning and happy Friday. Beautiful stretch of weather starts today with temperatures in the upper 60s this morning and low humidity, lower than the last few days anyway. Then this afternoon, we stay nice and dry. Temperatures on either side of 80 degrees for the coast. And as you head inland, we're looking at the low 80s. Paired with sunshine and that nice dry feel, it's going to be a great day to get outside. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
For me, I really like corn.
What do you like about corn?
It's corn!
So that's the corn song. It's corn. And if you're not familiar with that, it was a social media sensation a couple years ago. So Mike Roberts has been telling us about corn all morning. And every time he brings up that story, I think of that video. So the little boy talking about corn. And then, as was the trend a few years ago on social media, they took his cute video and they set it to music and turned it into a song. And it became a big thing. And now I can't eat corn and not think about it's corn. And so as he's been reading that story, I'm just in the studio saying, it's corn. So I said, I got to play that. So you can look that up for yourself if you want to hear it again. It's corn. Just look it up. And of course, the news was brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. 115 Huddleston Avenue, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy and where they always have great tasting events. And today they're having an event from 5 to 7 with North Star Party. So if you would like to try some Glen Farmer, some other things. So here's what they're going to have today over there for you to try at Stevie's between 5 and 7. They're going to have the Glen Farmer Distillery bean-infused vodka. It's infused with espresso and vanilla. It is so good. You're going to want to put that in your iced coffee or just drink it straight up. Also, their Dolly, it's vodka infused with pineapple. It's the right amount of pineapple, not too sweet. It's real pineapple, it's not artificial. They will also have, from 10th Mountain Spirits, Alpenglow, sage-infused peach vanilla, and the Mad River Vanilla Rum. It's a rum infused with vanilla beans, which sounds fantastic. I haven't had that yet, but I had a... So not to ruin it for you, if you haven't picked up your Rackhouse Club bag yet, but it is a Burnt Rock Bourbon from Mad River that is so good. It's got a bite, but it's very tasty, very flavorful. So today from 5 to 7 at Stevie's Wine Spirits, but stop by and get all your weekend supplies over there, 115 Huddleston Avenue. They're also the sponsor of our ticket giveaways, and today is your final day to enter to win tickets to Welcome to the Nut House, the live podcast recording with Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman. You can enter at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, but you've only got about 20 minutes left to get your name in to possibly be our final winner of the week. Also, want to say happy 10th birthday to Bailey, who is listening down in New Jersey. That's the wonder of the WBSM app, is you can hear us anywhere in the world. And I know her dad's a big listener to the show. And now he's got Bailey as a regular listener as well. So happy birthday, Bailey. Have a great day. I hope it's the best birthday ever. My 10th birthday was one of my favorites. First of all, because I'd finally reached double digits. But in those days, I was a big collector of tapes, music tapes. I had my little boombox and I wanted music tapes. So I got, for my 10th birthday, I got to go to the store and pick out, I think, two or three tapes. And I got Iron Maiden. I got Well, I got a whole bunch because I got some from my parents, some from my aunt, my grandmother. So I think I walked away out of my 10th birthday with Iron Maiden, Tiffany, her second album. Then also, I think I also got the Beach Boys, the Monkees, and U2's Rattle and Hum. So that was a heck of a diverse catalog of music for my 10th birthday. 508-996-0500. Our Fun Friday question today brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford on Tarkin Hill Road, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for $5, but you can also try some of their great toppings as well. Like, I think I got to go get a Coney dog today. But you can also get baked beans on top of your hot dog. You can get mac and cheese on top of your hot dog. You can get all kinds of stuff on there. But the Fun Friday question today, because I was talking yesterday about the Poltergeist house. If you heard me at the end of the show talking about it, it is now available. The house where they filmed what I thought was just the exteriors for the 1982 classic and my favorite movie of all time, Poltergeist. It is now an Airbnb that you can rent out for the night. And they are trying to make it as authentic to the movie as they can. So they're redoing the inside of it to look more movie accurate. And I reached out to the owner. She's going to join us next week on the program. But I spent almost an hour on the phone with her, just talking with her about the renovations and the way that she's doing it and where she's finding stuff. And she wants to have like everything down to the china. So if you remember the scene when the parapsychology researcher comes in with her team and they have that experience, and then she's sitting there drinking the tea and her cup is shaking, her hand is shaking with the teacup in her hand. Rachel, the owner, has gone and gotten the china that matches that pattern, or at least as close as she could get. She's trying to have everything exactly as it appears on screen, and even trying now to get some on-screen used items. But that's the level of dedication she has to creating this Poltergeist experience for people that stay in the house. And so I was talking with her about getting out there and staying there sometime. But I'm probably going to do that, maybe early next year. But it made me think, if you could visit one place from a movie or TV show, where would it be? That's our Fun Friday question of the day today, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs. We've been getting a lot of interesting answers. As I said before, the Munster House, Mayberry, the Field of Dreams Park. We got a call earlier, Alice in Wonderland, you know, going to Wonderland. And there's probably some places that you can think of that, again, you don't have to stay there forever, but you might just want to visit. So we've got a few moments left, 508-996-0500 or app chat and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. But you can answer the Fun Friday question anytime on our Facebook page, even after the show is off the air, even when it's not even Friday anymore. Let me get my next break in here. We will be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. We've got a few moments remaining here in the program, 508-996-0500, and then we'll give way to Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now. He's going to have City Councilor at Large Naomi Carney in at 9 a.m., and then at 11 a.m., he'll have Ward 1 Councilor Leo Chiquette. So what are you going to talk about with the councilors? There hasn't really been a lot to talk about with the City Council lately. Also, one of the things that I want to let you be aware of, so we talk a lot about restaurants on this program, of course. We have a lot of restaurants that advertise with us. We have a lot of restaurants that have Seize the Deals with us that you can get at seizethedeal.com, including one coming up in just a few moments at 9 a.m. for the Profile Tavern. You're going to get $50 for just $25. So you're going to want to jump on that because those are going to go quickly. But I like to keep you up to date with all the restaurant news. We told you earlier in the week that this coming Sunday is going to be the final day for Vell's Restaurant and Lounge in West Wareham. After Sunday, the Bump family is retired. There will be no more Vell's ever again. However, the new owner, Rob Harriman, is turning it into Sea Stones Tavern. He is the owner of Cornerstones Pub in Carver. So he's going to be making a few changes, but keeping a lot of the stuff that's on the menu. So from everything we heard, and I've still got to connect with Rob, and I want to do a story on what his plans are, but he's been telling folks he plans on keeping everybody's favorites on the menu and just adding a few things and updating some of the decor on the inside. So that'll be Sunday will be your last day for Vells, and then a couple of days it'll be closed, and then it'll reopen as Seastones. But in Plymouth, there's a restaurant called Proof 22, a barbecue-themed bar and restaurant on Main Street. It's in the location that there had been another place that didn't really, there was a barbecue spot that didn't last more than a couple of years. And now Proof 22 has been having a lot of trouble. They have issues where there was someone who was killed in a single vehicle crash. He was 20 years old. And it's alleged that the bartenders were serving him for hours before the crash without asking him for identification. And then there was also some other things going on with serving people that were underage, serving people that were already intoxicated. And this isn't just Proof 22, but some of the other restaurants that the owners own. Another one of their locations got in trouble for serving an underage person. And so there's been all these different things that have been going on, plus alleged violation of labor laws at one of their places, including regulations on child labor, sick time, wage compensation, payroll records, and more. So there's been all these different things that have been plaguing Proof 22 and these owners who have a couple of different restaurants in town. Well, now Proof 22 is shut down, and they're not really giving an accurate story as to why that might be. According to the Plymouth Independent, there's three different explanations that have been given for it being closed. On a Facebook post on Tuesday, Proof 22 said, "We've made the decision to remain closed for the rest of the summer to give our staff a well-deserved break." Who closes down in the summertime at the height of tourist season in Plymouth, Massachusetts? "Oh, I'm sorry. The staff is so overworked. The servers don't want to come in and make the most money they're going to make all year long." Like, there's no way that that's true. On Wednesday, a sign on the front door said, "Closed today for routine maintenance. We will reopen tomorrow." Well, that didn't happen. The Plymouth Independent reported that they were still closed on Thursday. And then they also have said that there's a third reason that they're reevaluating their management options and that they want to be closed through Labor Day. Now, they have to notify the town if they're going to be closed because they have a liquor license. And they did not notify the town. So there's all kinds of issues going on over there with Proof 22. So we'll try to keep an eye on that story and let you know. All right, I've got to take one final break here. We'll come back and wrap things up. All right, welcome back in. We got a final answer to our question. What place from a movie or TV show would you most want to visit? The Pork Man says, "I'd want to go to Schitt's Creek." And I'm sure he said that just so that he could get me to say Schitt's Creek on the radio. All right, that's going to do it for me for today. Have a great weekend. I will talk to you on Monday. We will have City Council President Shane Burgo, and as far as I know, by himself. I don't know if anybody else is coming with him.